Dahlia Masati, writing coach for social change makers, public speaker, and author of Writing to Make a Difference, 25 Powerful Techniques to Boost Your Community Impact. Welcome to Writing Wednesdays, your opportunity to get essential writing tips and advice, as well as get and give feedback on a wide range of documents that you are asked to write. By working together as a virtual community, we will help each other improve our pieces and better engage our readers. On Writing Wednesdays, we always discuss several tips of the week on the selected topic, and then we go no later than 45 minutes past the hour. Sometimes we review samples that were submitted for that month. Sometimes we speak with a special guest, as we are today, and sometimes we even do a writing exercise together. Today's topic is From Snippets to Stories, and I'm pleased to introduce our special guest, Craig Harrison. Craig Harrison is a San Francisco Bay Area-based professional speaker, trainer, author, and coach who helps professionals express their excellence as communicators and leaders. His first publication, Recycled Jokes, came as an 11-year-old when he went door-to-door in Berkeley peddling joke books and good cheer amid the protests and riots of the late 60s and early 70s. Today, Craig is a prolific writer, having published 4 books, a pocketbook, 3 tips booklets, and numerous special reports and articles. And he's also the principal of the training firm Expressions of Excellence. I met Craig through Toastmasters, and am very pleased to welcome him today to the Writing Wednesdays community. I'm also really looking forward to learning from Craig as I craft stories for my upcoming presentations. So welcome again, Craig Harrison.
Thank you, Dahlia. And with your permission, I'm going to speak a little faster than you and try to enunciate. First, I want to wish everybody a happy Tuesday. Ba-dum-bump. Okay, now that the bad joke's
happy
out
Wednesday.
Of the way.
Happy
Wednesday. I know. I couldn't resist. I'm really excited to be with you all today because I'm of the belief that for writers, for speakers, for storytellers, personal stories are powerful. Personal stories are magical, and they can be used in so many ways. And what I want to do in this presentation today that I've broken down into 3 sections, and hopefully you have the handout already, is I want to talk about where stories come from, where your personal stories can come from. I want to show you how to get started in capturing these snippets, these kernels, these dialogue, little bits of dialogue that may come to you. And then I want to show you how to, one process anyway, that I use for composing and developing stories. All the while, I'll be referencing stories of mine that are on my website, that are in articles, that are standalone stories. They're all free. They're all available to print or download on expressionsofexcellence.com/articles. The idea, though, is not to show off what I've done, but just to show you how many formats exist to take your bits and pieces, fashion them into stories that you can publish, that you can ascribe to your characters in your books and novels and short stories, how you can use in your sales presentations or your motivational keynotes, or how to use in coaching or consulting with your clients, or even how to use in sales situations when you're out prospecting with economic buyers out there.
Craig, before you go on, I want to make sure that people do have the handout.
Okay.
So to do that, let's all make sure we go to writingtomakeadifference.com, the website. Again, writingtomakeadifference.com. And when you get there, you'll see right there, the first thing you see as you scroll down will be Craig's lovely picture. So you can associate a picture with a voice. And right under his picture, there's a line that says continue reading. Click on that, you will see the full listing for today's Writing Wednesdays.
And the handout, I believe, is under, does it say, let's see, where do they get the handout?
right under your photo, it says, for the call,
please access
Craig's presentation.
Perfect. Okay, fantastic. And what you'll see, I'll mostly be referencing the first couple of pages of the handout, and then I've attached some examples of stories of mine and also some tools that I've used to catalog stories. And I'll be talking about all of that. And we will be breaking for questions a couple of times within this remaining half hour that I have. So if you've got questions, you don't have to hold them till the end. Let's see. With that, let me just jump right in. And the first section on the handout is entitled Sourcing Your Own Stories. And people often ask me, hey, where do your personal stories come from? How do I find my own personal stories? Simply put, I believe personal stories come from personal experiences, and we all have them. Think about when you were a child, the stories that you have as a kid growing up, as you discovered the world around you. There's certainly stories your parents tell about you. You may want to spin it a different way. You also have stories that of occurrences that happened in school. Maybe you beat up the bully or were bullied. Maybe you, won the spelling bee. Maybe something funny happened on the playground or in the classroom. Certainly we have stories at work that happened to us or that happened to our colleagues. We have stories from the vacations that we've taken with our family or without our family. And one of the great sources of stories I find come from our first trips overseas or any time we are a stranger in a strange land. Certainly holidays are breeding ground for stories. Sometimes they're dramatic if they're family stories or holidays gone awry. And let's face it, we all have dysfunctional families, I've come to believe. But that's a great source of stories. Public events, family situations that occur in our lives. I've often found interesting stories you have in your past may have to do with a brush with fame that you had with a famous person. Whether your own personal experience, your brush with fame, was with a famous person where it confirmed their public image or perhaps belied their public image. Either way, it's fascinating for us. Other times, your stories may come from just being a bystander and observing something, or you've been at a historic event, or even happenstance. So know that stories are all around you, and as you go back and look at your past with an eye toward the stories, you'll find them. What I want to say, though, is that they're very hard to find in isolation. Oftentimes, it's over conversation with family members or coworkers or good friends. It may occur over a libation. But oftentimes, it's hard to sit in isolation, stare at your computer or your blank notepad and come up with stories. I believe they're out there, though, and they're best uncovered in dialogue with colleagues, whether you're working through a checklist or just going down memory lane. I also want to make the point that it's an incorrect assumption that all your stories have to be cheerful and positive and upbeat. Great stories can come from negative experiences. In comedy, of course, we have this formula. We say that tragedy plus time equals comedy. So you may have traumatic experiences in your past you have not looked at in decades, and perhaps you've even been carrying around the trauma of a failed audition or an embarrassing moment in front of your classmates. I grew up in Berkeley. My parents divorced. My mother wanted to help me as a Jewish boy become a bar mitzvah. And my bar mitzvah was a comedy of errors. Everything that could go wrong did. And for years, I carried around the shame. When I finally looked at it again, I came to realize with the help of others that everything that went wrong was pretty funny and put together. It could have been in Keeping Up with the Steins. It really, while a Berkeley bar mitzvah was very different from a Beverly Hills bar mitzvah, I had uncles putting the Torah together incorrectly and reading the footnotes, and we extended invites to machers, alderkochers rather, older gentlemen to be a part of the service, and they refused, and the substitute rabbi was so senile, he introduced the wrong boy and closed the Torah before I read it. So even something negative can can be very humorous and positive and good fodder for stories after the fact. The other thing I want to mention to you is that even though your story may be unique to you, there's probably a universal truth in it. What's unique to you, nevertheless, can be universal to others. The fact that you failed the driving test, we can all relate to that. Even people who don't drive, they've probably failed other tests. So the key to successful stories, I believe, is the fact that even in your unique experience, which may have occurred in another country or with other customs, can have universal appeal. And that's what makes it powerful to others. So know that there are many, many stories in your past. You just have to uncover them. It's best done with other people. But nevertheless, they're out there. And a lot of snippets of stories come from your past. So look anew and see what you can find. Now, naturally, people then ask me, okay, great, how do I get started? How do I get going? How do I start to explore my past and my present to find snippets I can fashion into stories? And I'm a big proponent of starting some kind of personal journal or notebook. You really do want to take note of the observations you have as you go through your days, of the dialogue you overhear, whether you're on the subway or the bus or wherever you might be. I find that there are so many quirky news stories these days in the traditional and non-traditional press. Sometimes truth is stranger than fiction, and anyway, it's what you do with it. So I'm always looking for curious stories or interesting news items that just strike me as odd or tap into a theme that I'm already interested in. So I like to collect these. Some people are into writing and they carry around a little notebook. Others have a micro recorder or they use their smartphone to record snippets of dialogue or observations. But I think the key is to record them for future analysis. The key is to capture them as you hear them and see them and experience them so that you then have them later at your beck and call to develop. Make note of bumper stickers. I was taking photographs at a Bay Area storytelling festival some years ago, and I took the usual photos, and then when I went into the parking lot, I was blown away by the hilarious bumper stickers that were on the backs of cars of so many of the storytellers, and it was really interesting to me. And what came of that actually was an interesting article. So the other thing that you want to do is spend some time with your siblings, with your parents, with your schoolmates and friends and colleagues and coworkers, and explore your past with them and look for their stories and get their perspectives on experiences that you remember that you want to fashion into stories. And just know that there's power in doing something with somebody else. They'll tell a story which will remind you of a story, or they'll give you snippets of their remembrance of traumatic or monumental events in your family or in your school or in your class. You know, growing up in the 60s in Berkeley, so many things were happening. I remember one day in class raising my hand to answer a question the teacher answered. And as I answered it, she broke into tears. And pretty soon the boy next to me was crying and the girl next to me. And soon everybody was crying. And I didn't understand what I had said that would upset so many people. But this being Berkeley in 1968, there were riots going on outside and tear gas was getting into the air conditioning ducts. And, you know, as I spoke with classmates later about that, they added a lot of interesting details that later became a story that I use about how where you grow up affects what you learn and how you see the world. So there's great value in uncovering stories, prospecting your past with others. The other thing that I believe strongly in is the value of attending all of your class reunions, as difficult as it may be for a lot of us because of those old traumas. I find that it's just an amazing place to find out the rest of the story about what happened to that snotty-nosed kid who sat next to you or had a locker next to you, or what happened to the you know, the homecoming queen, or half the people that you remembered as being a mess, or that's how they remembered you, it's your chance to show everyone how you turned out okay after all. And then the other half, I found they were just as I remembered them, and that was fantastic too. And being in the presence of people from high school, in my case, it brought back that high school behavior just as if it had never left, and that gave me other access points into my past. So I think that reunions are... Oh, go ahead, Dahlia.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, before we move on to another section, I wanted to ask, what about, you mentioned the importance of uncovering stories not in isolation but with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering about what if you are trying to uncover stories from those other people,
mm-hmm.
and they're not really in storytelling mode?
Right. Well, I believe whether you do it explicitly or implicitly, you can interview other people. You can inquire about their past and ask them, well, you know, what was your childhood experience growing up? What was first grade like for you? One of the things I do, Dahlia, is I give people a checklist of firsts. I believe that when you query people about their first day of school, their first overnight, their first kiss, their first boyfriend or girlfriend, their first summer camp experience, there's a lot of great things there. But, in a sense, you become an interviewer. You become an oral historian, and you ask questions. You know, StoryCorps has a wonderful kit you can download, basically, if you conduct your own oral histories. But even less officially, I think you people probably know StoryCorps.org. It's Story, C-O-R-P-S, StoryCorps.com.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, .org. It's a nonprofit now. And they're featured on NPR every Friday. They share a story, and they have amazing programs for 9/11 stories and GRIO projects and Alzheimer's projects and interesting mobile booths and whatnot. Again, it's developing questions to ask. By the way, I'm happy to recommend an oral historian for a future Writing Wednesdays. She worked at the UC Office of Oral History, and she's very skilled in these sorts of questions.
Great, yeah, let's talk about it later. Sounds good.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Again, my hope for you is that through recording these current snippets and dialogues and ideas, and through querying your friends and colleagues and reminiscing, you're going to have lots of fodder for stories. And then it just comes down to, it's important that you flesh out the stories and then that you catalog them in a way that they're accessible to you as you are writing your manuscripts and as you're developing your writing projects. What I've done in the middle of page one is I've given you a couple of links to story trackers that I use. It's a glorified spreadsheet. It's an Excel spreadsheet with two or three columns. If you were to go in the handout to page five, you'll see I have a two-column table where I've got on the left-hand side a universal truth or a theme or a topic, and on the right side, I've got the name of the story that I tell. Some people do it the opposite way. They have column one list the story, and column two discusses either the universal truth or the theme or the topic it addresses. Now, the other thing I could suggest is on page six, you'll see a landscape three column where I've got the story, a little bit of a description in column two, and in column three I've got the universal truth of that story. And this is a way that I just catalog them. And some might say that this section actually could come later in our program. So for now, I'm going to fast forward to the top of page two and talk about what you do once you've got the kernel, the seed, the snippet of the story. I'm of the belief that mind mapping is a great way to flesh out your story and mind mapping is really something that I like to do freehand. I like to take a blank piece of paper, turn it landscape, I draw a circle in the middle, and I put my theme or my focus. And then I draw spokes out from that as I get ideas that are related to that. For the purpose of today's conversation, I wanted to tell you about a time when I was contacted by a client who couldn't pay me much, but they wanted me to travel across a couple of states to come and do a program for them. And so I had to do this all on the cheap. So to save a few dollars for a client, I took a discount shuttle to the airport. And this shuttle wasn't a reputable one. It came around the corner. It barely stopped to pick me up. I got in, and it said, all passengers must pay in advance. And about two blocks later, as we went around a corner, that sliding door flew open. And I thought, oh, that's funny. That's why they want us to pay in advance, because not everyone makes it to the airport. So from that, I ended up thinking this could make a great story. So I mind mapped the concept of traveling on a shoestring. In the center of my piece of blank paper, I wrote travel on a shoestring. And I just started to think about, well, okay, when you travel on a shoestring, it means flying a deep discount airline. What's that like? It's using cheap ground transportation. It means staying at not a five-star hotel, but maybe a run-of-the-mill hotel. And so what are some of the details of cheap hotels I've stayed at in the past? And so I started to brainstorm, and I had all these spokes coming out from the center of my page. I talked about being in a shuttle without seats, and I talked about being in a cheap hotel. You know, there's hotels and there's motels, and there's even a category called no-tel, where people rent rooms by the hour, and they have beds, but sleeping isn't the primary focus of them. You get the idea. So I started to brainstorm all of these different ideas and then developed a story that had me being picked up on my way and taking a shuttle and a puddle jumper and some ground transportation at the other end and staying in a cheap hotel and giving my program and coming back. And what you'll see on page 3 is a version of the finished product. It's a story about speaking on a shoestring. Now, unfortunately, it got edited to death. They took out a lot of the funny things and took out the didn't understand the rule of three that we use in storytelling and comedy. And so it's not as funny as it could be. It's been sanitized, and some of the frills have been taken out of the story. But nevertheless, it's one example of taking a kernel, brainstorming, mind mapping, using embellishment, exaggeration, and extremes, and then generating a story. The bottom of page 2 shows you that I've been able to do this with all sorts of snippets. I had a bad date experience. The date didn't last so long, but it had a long tail, by which I mean the bad date experience turned into a good speech that Thursday in my Toastmasters club. Somebody heard it, thought it was funny, and said, could I give it at an area contest where people would compete to evaluate it? So I had written up a bad date experience. I gave it a second time. People competed to evaluate it. Someone else heard it and said, that was funny. Could you do that at lunch of our big conference? And I said, sure. And somebody heard it there and said, that's great. Could you come to our video singles program and be videotaped and go for 45 minutes? And I thought, well, that's longer than the first date. But I've had other first dates that were disastrous as well. Yeah, I could do 45 minutes. After that, somebody said, that's incredible. Would you come to our singles program and do that 45-minute program, answer some questions, and then could you, how does $75 sound? And I said, well, I've actually spent about that on some bad blind dates. I guess I could spend that to be in front of a bunch of single people, more or less my age. And they said, no, we'll pay you. And this is how I gave my first professional speech. So the story had longer legs than better legs than the date, but from one bad date experience came a story that launched a speaking career. Other things that have happened, I had a brush with fame in Vegas where I made the comedian Sinbad laugh. From one interchange came a whole story about fame and celebrity and getting comedians to laugh. You heard my story of selling recycled jokes door to door. I have a story called Homegrown Humor out of that. I had a bully. I was bullied as a kid. The bully on the corner wouldn't let me get to school. My bully had four legs. It was a Great Dane, you know, and I've fashioned that into a funny story. I got caught plagiarizing poems in junior high, and this is a story that I tell about the importance of honesty. You know, we got over on the teacher because we took lyrics from album covers and we turned them in as our own individual poems. We didn't realize that next week the instructor was going to ask us to recite these poems. And as we started reciting the popular songs of that day, the students in the class knew the lyrics before we even recited them, and we got Fs. And
they probably started singing them, too.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lady who knows all her glitters is gold, and you probably know when she's buying A Stairway to Heaven.
Right.
Just because the teacher didn't know those songs, but unfortunately our classmates did. Busted! So, again, I took a wrong turn on the way to Yosemite, and I went over a bridge, and I crossed something called Turnback Creek, and a few hundred yards later, I entered the town of Confidence, California. And I thought, what an interesting metaphor. Turnback Creek, you know, I was lost. I was going the wrong way. Should I turn back? I'd crossed Turnback Creek, and then I found Confidence, California. And on page 4 of your handout, you'll see the story that I fashioned from being lost in this interesting town called Confidence, California. So the point I want to make is that stories can come from so many sources. What I find is that when you've got a germ of an idea, when you've got a kernel of an idea, brainstorm, do the mind map, see what else comes up related to that theme, things that may compare or contrast with the topic, and see from that if you can't create an amalgamation of these different travel experiences and have a travel story or a dating story or your first job story. Or I'm a big proponent, people love stories about when you put your foot in your mouth, where you were a fish out of water, where you were at the wrong place at the wrong time. Each of these could be fashioned into an interesting story for your next publication.
I wanted to ask before we move about this mind map idea. Is this something that could be done in a group, like in a group brainstorming session?
Absolutely, it could. You could have a whiteboard or a flip chart and do it in that fashion. I've actually done this at a humor community, Laugh Lovers, which I know you're familiar with, a monthly Toastmasters group, where we brainstorm on a concept. I had the audience throw out a concept, and then we generated a lot of humorous connections on that theme. And we had brilliant minds in the room. We had people that were very punny. We had people that were very witty. It was almost people were showing off how brilliant they could be in these obscure references. And from that came, this was a program called Humoration. Dahlia, I'll send you the PDF, and anybody who contacts you, you can share that. In it, it shows how to take one concept and generate a lot of humor from it. So absolutely, it can be done as a group exercise. We might even do it on a subsequent phone call. That can be exciting.
Sure. Yeah, that sounds good. Well, I'm just curious. Maybe folks have some questions for you, Craig.
Yeah, let's open it up.
Anyone have questions or comments for Craig?
Craig, this is Sharon, and I'm just sitting here. How are you? I'm laughing so hard at these stories, and it's so true. When you sit in front of a piece of paper, your mind just goes blank, and you're panicking because you have a speech to make. But from your talk just now just spurred a thought for me, since I'm a mentor for a couple of people in the club, that we can sit down sometime after the meeting and do just that, just sit down and start talking and write down our thoughts about what we could talk about. And once we get down at least some general ideas, like you were suggesting, your class reunion, your first kiss, all your firsts, and then go through maybe your travels, things that your experiences, I think that would help me as well as the newbies in terms of creating a speech around those topics. And I really love how you said you draw a pie, and then from that pie you draw spokes. And that kind of keeps everything in perspective, so I can see myself using that in the future.
That's great. You know, some people are very logical and linear, and they prefer a written outline. For me, the advantage of the mind map is that I don't know the order in which I will string these things together. I don't know how I will group them or how I will link from one anecdote or one snippet to another. And when I mind map it, then I have more freedom to play with it and move things around sometimes, or to see them without forming the structure in advance. And, you know, many times I'll say to somebody, tell me a joke, and they go, oh, I don't know any jokes. The moment I tell them a joke, they remember another one or a lot of them. I think it's the same with stories. When you are culling stories, when you're pulling out stories from other people, it may naturally, their story may remind you of a story, or maybe even it's, you know, where were you on this date, and what story do you have? That's what StoryCorps' 9/11 project is all about, is where were you on 9/11 and how were you affected?
Yes, absolutely. When you write it down, it also helps you to keep on, stay on track about what your thoughts are, because if you don't write it down, you start to say, writing out the speech, then you sometimes you forget those little tidbits that you remember to get you started in the first place. So that's what I like about the spoke.
Absolutely. I will take more questions, but because Sharon just mentioned that, what I wanted to tell you is that pages 7 to 23 on your handout are all really one file. They're a PowerPoint file I have where I've inventoried my stories. And the way I do it, because I'm very visual, is each page of this has one story. I've got a title or a title and subtitle, or a title and perhaps a key line. Then I've got some images which trigger for me the story, because I'm very visual. It's a form of shorthand. And then in the case on page 8 of A Tale of Two Doctors, I had a new doctor that wasn't like my old doctor. In fact, the doctor spent the same amount of time with me, but was impersonal, no eye contact, no caring manner. And I flesh this into a story, and I tell it, and the check marks actually refer to the themes embedded in this story. It's about good listening versus bad listening. It's about having a good bedside manner. It's customer care. Many times the same story you have can be spun in different ways, depending on who you are sharing it with. My speaking on a shoestring is also storytelling on a shoestring, because it was actually a storytelling invitation that led to that story. My story of selling used jokes, going door to door, I use it for sales programs. I use it for customer service programs, and I talk about customizing the jokes and creating a special anniversary gift for one neighbor who forgot their anniversary. And I use it in humor programs to talk about humor. I use it in storytelling programs. So your same story can be spun in different ways. Page 9 is that story about finding confidence. My first job, my father paid me to wash white walls, and I have a story about that. Page 11, job interview. I was on a job interview for an outdoor press, and they wanted somebody who could read maps and write press releases. And in the job interview, they asked me to tell them which way a river was running. And I looked at this map. It's unlike a map I've ever seen before. Where are the highways? Where is the compass? And I took a guess, and I guessed correctly which way the river flowed, and thought, oh, I'm acing this interview. I'll get the job. And wouldn't you know it, the interviewer had the nerve to ask me how I figured that out. I made up a cock and bull story. It was totally wrong. I didn't get the job. But I used that story to talk about, you know, how to not count your chickens before they're hatched, and how to, you know, how sometimes being superficial or bluffing your way, they say fake it till you make it, but sometimes that doesn't work. Well, are there other questions at this time that I can answer? Let me try to take a couple more questions before we wrap up this Writing Wednesday segment.
I have a question. So what are some of the things you suggest us avoiding when telling or crafting a strong story, and what are the things you think should definitely be included in a strong story?
Well, that's an interesting question. That's almost a topic for another Writing Wednesday. I think any story to be good needs compelling characters, and something has to happen. We always are looking for a conflict, a challenge, an obstacle. You know, there's so many elements that make a good story. And again, your unique story should have some kind of universal appeal, and you should know what that is. Whether your story echoes an archetype of a hero's journey or Pygmalion or something like that. You know, a story should be vivid. And again, some of you are crafting stories for your characters in novels. Others of you are writing short stories. Some of you are developing stories to be shared verbally. And so there's no universal here. There are different levels of detail you can get into, different vividness. So, I mean, it's a big answer. But, I mean, I think there are common elements in all stories. And so vivid characters and some exciting action and, you know, whether it's surprise, whether it's comedy, whether it's tragedy, it's got to have everything. Ethos, pathos, it's all important.
I guess the one thing that I would think of when I'm telling a story, in addition to all of the things you mentioned, was I would really consider my audience and think about what's gonna land well with them, whether it's an in-person audience or a readership. The people that I'm telling the story to, I want to make sure it's relevant to their life experiences.
That's a great point, because again, if you're writing a romance novel, then you don't want to skimp on certain details. If you're writing for a business audience, you know, you don't want to perhaps use too much embellishment or exaggeration. You know, you want to, and you may need to keep it streamlined and short. You know, I'm a big proponent of teaching people success stories, how to fashion case studies as success stories that are quick reads. But again, it's not just details. It's drama. It's suspense. It's surprise. But yeah, start with your audience in mind. I love that.
Is there anything you would like to add before we wrap up, Craig?
Sure. If you have further questions or if you'd like to continue this discussion, by all means, you can email me, you can call me. I tried to cram a lot of information into this time, and the last thing I want to do is leave you confused. So know that we can continue this discussion as an extension of this complimentary Writing Wednesday program. I thank you for your attention and interest, and I look forward to reading and hearing your stories. Really, the world doesn't need you to tell other people's stories. What the world really needs is to hear your stories. With that, I thank you, and Dahlia, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you very much, Craig, and I just wanted to remind folks that right on the website that we all looked at, writingtomakeadifference.com, if you go back there to the page with Craig's photo, right underneath, if you keep scrolling, you'll see Craig's recommended reading. He offered some things for us to look into after the call, and then he also offered a special offer of 20% off his coaching packages for everyone on the Writing Wednesdays call. So thanks again, Craig Harrison, our special guest today, and as he said, please feel free to continue the conversation You can contact him directly, or you can add a comment to the blog for today's session. If you do have a question or a comment, I'll make sure to pass it along to Craig. You can find the recording of today's session and even share it with others right there on the website. We have an archive, and if you have signed up for the Writing Wednesdays mailing list, you will receive a link to the recording when it becomes live online in a few days. If you have not already signed up for that mailing list, you can do that right there on the website in that little box that says Sign Up Now. That's where you would go, and just make sure that pull-down menu says Writing Wednesdays, and that will sign you right up. And the next Writing Wednesdays call will be on Wednesday, May 7th, and the topic that day will be blogging, and we'll also be speaking with a special guest at that time. I just wanted to wrap up and say thanks again, everyone, for coming and participating, and I look forward to speaking with you again very soon. Happy writing, and goodbye for now.
Thanks very much.
Bye, folks. Thanks again.
Bye, Craig.
Thank you.
Bye now. May you live happily ever after.